This time on episode 191 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Legion Chapter 6, we talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your feedback.
Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, August 6th. 2017, from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Root Beer Float Day.
Woot, yay.
A summer treat indeed. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix. Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of What's in the Box.
If you'd like to talk to us about What's in the Box, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail on What's in the Box at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can check out our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can check us out on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You'd like to leave us a comment on YouTube about What's in the Box, you can get us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
This episode, we are talking about Legion Chapter 6, and we're going to delve straight into it. First of all, this chapter, Chapter 6, aired on Wednesday, March 15th, 2017 on FX, and earned a 0.73 rating, which is down 0.07 from the week before, but it's all in the same bound, chapters 4 through 8. Legion actually was renewed for a second season this very date of its airing. So, Haley, who directed Chapter 6?
This episode was directed by Hiro Murai, maybe is how you say his name?
I think so.
He only has 16 directing credits. A lot of these are for video shorts starting in 2006. He did do 7 episodes of Atlanta in 2016, and he did this episode of Legion, and he did an episode of Snowfall, also in 2017.
Yeah, these are mostly music videos, and actually there's some really good ones in here, like B.O.B. featuring Hayley Williams, Airplane. That one's really good. He's done a couple of Childish Gambino ones, which you might also know as Donald Glover. There's a Massive Attack video. Willows was his first one. So, yeah, a lot of music videos. He's got a really good eye for
that sort of genre.
There's a term that I'm looking for, like striking images.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can tell because there was a music video in the middle of this episode.
Exactly, which I think was why he was a good choice for it.
Yes.
But it wasn't just a music video. So it wasn't a Glee episode where you just have people singing different rooms or different sets. This was something different, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, Lauren, who wrote this episode?
The episode was written by Nathaniel Halpern. He has writing credits going back to 2010, Looking for Grace. He was the creator of the TV series. He's written one episode of The Killing, one episode of Manhattan, 3 episodes of Resurrection. And he was executive story editor for 9 episodes of Outcast. And he wrote Chapter 4 and Chapter 6 of Legion, and was the co-executive producer for 7 episodes of Legion.
So, Haley, we start our discussion on each episode about the title and the significance of the title to the episode. And we've been stretching very hard this season for these titles. So chapter six, how does six relate to the rest of the episode?
Well, there were six of a thing at some point in the episode. And I think that's why this one had to be called chapter six.
Mm. You guys remember six from Battlestar Galactica?
Very much so, yes.
I do not remember any red dresses in this episode.
Do you remember six from Dark Matter? Have you, either of you, watched Dark Matter?
No.
No. I catch a little bit just before it's on, before Winona Earp, and at some point I need to actually watch the show.
I've been happy with it so far. I'm about three episodes behind, but I've been liking where it's going for what it is. It's not The Expanse, but it's some fun summer sci-fi, so I'm all for it. So let's get into the episode and the highlights of the episode. We've already alluded to it, but we might as well start talking about it. Let's talk about the dance. Lauren, what can you tell me about the dance?
Okay, so we should preface this by saying that this whole episode revolves back in Clockwork. We left off last episode with Lenny having sort of put everyone in Clockworks again. And here she's taken the role of the therapist. So she's going around messing with people, essentially. And at some point in the episode, Nina Simone's cover of Feeling Good starts playing, which is a fantastic song, by the way. And all of a sudden, the light turns red, and she starts doing this just amazing dance through David's memories. She's in the kitchen where everything was flying. She's in the room at Melanie's place where he was getting his brain scanned and just kind of grinding on the chair there. She's dancing around in the office. It's just, it's a very, very memorable, striking scene. And she is feeling good.
Haley, just how good is she feeling?
Pretty good. All of her enemies are now prisoners in whatever kind of mind prison she's made. She's got full control of David. She's screwing with Sid, who is trying to compete with her for possession of David. You know, everything is coming up Lenny.
At least until Oliver steps in and starts rescuing people. We'll get to that in a bit. But one of the people that she controls is Amy, David's sister, adopted sister, I think we've established at this point. And she is not treating neither David nor Sid with any sort of respect whatsoever.
Right. Well, because that's not Amy.
Yes. Amy, in this vision, in this world, is one of the nurses. And she's just awful. Like, she takes away David's pie for no reason.
No pie for you.
She just gropes Sid again for no real reason. She tells David, nobody wants you, you make us vomit, and just stands there pretending to throw up.
Even after he, like, walks all the way out of frame, they stay on her for, like, an extra couple seconds, still gagging.
And she's just like, going, bleh, bleh, bleh.
If you are any sort of a person with a weak gag reflex, you might actually end up throwing up watching that scene. Another person whose real personality is coming out, and this does not surprise me, is the Eye. And he is got it in to just exploit power, which is what Lenny was explaining, but he's got his sights on the female Carrie, and that's not going too well.
In general, this was a very predatory episode.
It was. It was very uncomfortable to watch.
I actually had to get up. You know, I was watching it, rewatching it on Amazon Prime, and I actually had to get up at about 10-minute intervals to, like, do stuff just to get my head reset and then come back and watch it again. Yeah, I'm glad the first time I watched it was on real TV. I think I watched this one live, so I had some time to get up and go to the bathroom.
Some commercial breaks.
Yeah, commercial breaks. I didn't think about that, though. This is tough to watch for the 45, 50 minutes that it is. One of the darker, I mean, they're all kind of dark, but this is definitely the darker because you're playing with the concept of the mind and screwing around with the mind.
Right. Well, it's got a very horror film kind of feel to it, too, because you're in the insane asylum the whole time. You don't get out of there except to go to the room where everybody's about to die.
Yeah. And then again, there's that whole the fear of the bad doctor, and we know that Lenny is bad, and the fear of being in there with a quote-unquote monster, and we know that the eye is bad, and these people that we've become familiar with over the past few episodes, they're not quite acting like themselves. Melanie is not confident at all. She's just sitting there twirling her hair and being just incredibly spaced out. Carrie and Carrie, I mean, we see Carrie with a K, girl Carrie, is just completely insecure and codependent on Carrie with a C, guy Carrie, because she's being forced out of her comfort zone. And actually, I had a really interesting thought while I was, well, I thought it was interesting. You might not think it is. When I was watching this episode, when we see, the first time we see Potonomy, and he's in the same position that Lenny was in the first time we saw her, saying all of her same dialogue about the guy's drool. His powers are memories, and he's in essentially a little splinter of David's memory. Is that why he's doing that? Whether he knows it or not?
Maybe.
But also, something just, again, with me bringing up the wardrobe in the episode, I don't remember if we've discussed it before, but the wardrobe at Clockworks is designated by threat level of the patients. If they're wearing a white shirt with like a white stripe on the thing, that means they're not dangerous. So you see Carrie, for example, girl Carrie is wearing a white stripe, which was kind of surprising considering how violent she is. Yellow means they're kind of a moderate threat. David is wearing a yellow stripe. And then red means they're a very high level threat. So the eye is wearing red. Who else? Tonomy with his mind powers is wearing red.
I did look at the uniforms and I didn't notice that they were different from person to person. They weren't all like the orange with the stripe. They had like black or red with arm bands that go around the arm, not just down the arm. So I was looking at that, but I didn't equate the significance of them. Thank you very much for tipping me off on that. That was uniquely done. Did you notice that or did you read that somewhere?
I read it somewhere and it made sense because, yeah, you need to have some kind of visual aid for how cautious you need to be around someone. And here it was really interesting as compared to in the real world Clockworks, where the threat is kind of by physical aggression level. Here it's by mental power. So Potonomy, he has all the mind powers and stuff. So he's a red threat. Carrie, who would probably be a red in the real world because of her physical aggression, here she has no mind powers. She's a white. And I think, I can't remember if Carrie with a C was yellow or red.
I think it was yellow.
And it was that same sort of a little bit surprising at some points who was which color.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you noticed this, but like, it went down to like their socks and stuff, what color they were. Like their socks, the shirt they wore under their jacket, all of that stuff was all the same color. And that's why, because you have to make sure they're always properly labeled.
Because they're in a mental hospital, of course.
It's just another level of control.
Yeah. Something else about being in the mental hospital, a lot of times in a show where you're getting this kind of story where we're not in our established world, we're in some sort of dream world or, you know, something, computer simulation, whatever. You have one character that you go in with who knows that things aren't right. And that's the character that you follow. But in this, all of our protagonists are completely submerged in the world. And the only one who knows what's going on is Lenny and the audience, which is different than what we see a lot of times.
Yeah, we see Sid kind of having an inkling. She's saying it feels kind of like a dream, but like a boring dream.
But you still know something's not right,
to which Lenny distracts her with those headphones.
Yeah, but then right after she has that scene with Lenny, she goes to get her meds, and you see the Carries playing ping pong, and you hear the sounds, but there's no ball.
Mm-hmm. Again, I love that this show plays with stuff like that. The music, the sound, the visuals, there's so much stuff to notice that even if you don't catch it the first time around, you notice it the second, the third time around. It's a show that really, I know we've said this before, but it benefits from a rewatch.
I just figured the no ball thing with the Carrie Carrie ping pong match was an homage to Forrest Gump.
No, because it's when she first looks over, there's no ball, but you're hearing the sound of them actually playing. And then later when she goes over to them, they're playing and you see the ball.
Yeah, again, it's that subtle clue. Something's not right.
Well, the two of them are definitely linked, and it is kind of odd to watch them try to explain it without understanding what their powers are. And this leads to the confusion at the end when Carrie with a C is gone and Carrie with a K has to deal with the I. This is a unique perspective because they're thinking they're alone, but they're not. They're one sharing a body. So I just thought it was unique, especially when they were in their bedroom separated. They had to be close to each other.
Yep. And speaking of Carrie with a C getting rescued by Oliver, so he's in the bedroom, he's getting ready to sleep, and then he sees that giant ice cube and he sees Oliver in his dive suit come for him. And I love that when he's in, first of all, he's in kind of a dream vision of that forest that we've seen that hangs around. I'm blanking out on what it's called, Melanie's hangout.
The astral plane?
No.
No, the name of her building. I don't remember.
At Summerland.
Summerlands, yes, thank you. Which, by the way, is the same forest from X3. Ooh. Yeah. Hello, Canada. But anyway, when he's there, his face is all bruised up the way it is in the real world. And I liked that.
Right, where it faded to that. And it did that with Sid once, too. By the way, Canada, of course, is where all the good X-Men go to escape, as we've seen in Logan. So, I mean, there is something good about Canada.
There's just so much detail in this episode.
I probably won't be able to catch it with a third or fourth watch. And it's hard to get through, so I don't know if I'll necessarily do that or not. And one of the things that's hard to get through is Ptolemy. He is remembering his mother's death, and he remembers it so vividly, down to the arching of the tile and the fact that he's doing silly putty. I forgot. Kids these days don't know that you could take Silly Putty, put it on the comic section, and get the imprint of the comic because, well, there's no papers anymore.
Doesn't work on the tablet.
Yeah. You could try. So he's doing that, and he's describing the scene of his mother's death, which we don't see until the end of the episode, but it's, oh man, it's so tough to go through. And he's remembering it with smiles on his face because his mother was still alive up to the point where he discovers her dead.
Yeah, that was pretty tough to watch. And, you know, he's mentioned before, yeah, I have this memory that I can remember anything. I can remember my mother's death. So in a sense, I'm always reliving it. And when he mentions, I like to think of myself as a time traveler. That was interesting and a little scary to think about, too.
Yeah, using the mind and the memories as time travel. One of the good things about this episode, though, is they start to get rescued. Like last episode, it ends with them in the group therapy session. This episode begins with the singular therapy sessions with Lenny. But then throughout the episode, either Oliver or Carrie come back and try to rescue individuals and explain that you are in this mind space, not necessarily astral plane, but in real life, you got some bullets headed towards you, so you still have to fix some things. And those rescues were pretty good. We get to see more of Oliver next episode, but it was good to see the diving suit out and about helping people again.
Yep. And then, of course, at the end of this episode, when we have a little bit of a reveal with Lenny, where she reveals that she knew David's biological father. More hints dropping.
Oh, yeah. That whole thing with Lenny saying, I know your real dad. I thought we could combine our powers and dominate the world and we could be God, the only thing that matters. That was heavy, heavy stuff.
Yeah, that fungus she's talking about, by the way, cordyceps, that is a real thing. And actually, it's the basis for one of my absolute favorite zombie books, The Girl with All the Gifts, which has just been made into a movie. And I bought the DVD because I didn't realize it came out yet. And I haven't had a chance to watch it. But the book is so good, you guys. It's so good.
So from a medical perspective, can that fungus actually grow on top of your head?
Not on humans, but on ants. Yes.
Not yet.
When somebody discovers how to do it, that's when the zombie apocalypse starts, right?
That's sort of the point of the girl with all the gifts. But yeah, with ants, it grows and it messes them up and it makes them climb to the top. There's also a kind of, I think it's a parasitic wasp that lays its egg in snails that sort of makes it do the same thing, where they climb up and there's horrible pictures of snails with their eye stalks swollen and pulsating, and they climb to the top of the grass, and the pulsating eyes attract birds that eat them, and then the larva infest the birds.
Remind me not to pulsate my eyes at birds ever. All right.
Nature's gross.
Yeah. Anything else that we haven't covered in this episode before we get to quotes?
I'm sorry. It's a worm, not a wasp.
That makes it better.
Ugh. That picture's so gross.
Yeah. Haley.
Just kind of throughout this episode, Sydney and Lenny are kind of competing for influence and control over David. And anytime Sydney starts to exert her influence, something will happen to force barriers between the two of them.
Yep, whether it's removing his pie or Lenny showing up and saying it's time for therapy, just stuff like that. Just something always comes in the way.
And when Sid finally figures out what's going on, then Lenny comes in and with the earmuffs to put her to sleep so that she is out of the picture before she gets shot. Lots of stuff. So, Haley, what kind of quotes do we have?
Not a whole lot, but a few. All right. Like a dream, you know, but not an interesting one.
One that you're washing dishes for the rest of your life.
Was it just me or did Lenny look a little bit affronted when she said that? Like, she had a look on her face.
I thought the look on her face was, oh, she's starting to figure things out. That's what I thought.
I kind of got the same sense as she's putting some things together.
Yeah.
Which she shouldn't be. What is the point of life?
Mm-hmm. The existential question.
I knew your father.
I am your father.
I knew your father. All I need from you is your body. And your mind, well.
Yeah, and that's when he ends up in a box. And he's horrified. Of course, she just tried to put her shoe on his junk, so. That's automatic alarm bells.
Also, she put him in a brain prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, she put her shoe on his junk and then put him in a brain prison. It's this whole psychosexual thing.
I cannot imagine how different this show would have been if they had cast a dude.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the whole I don't like dogs thing makes a lot of sense in retrospect.
It does indeed. Is that it, Haley?
Yep.
All right. Well, next time, we're actually going to be discussing the next Iron Fist episode, episode 4, and that will be this Thursday night. And then next Sunday, we will be taking on Legion Chapter 7. That will be the penultimate season 1 episode of Legion. So stay tuned for all that great goodness. In the meantime, there's a lot of great goodness on the GunnaGeek.com network, which we are members of here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of the other shows on the network, Super Geeky Playdate, just released mini episode number 4 with Kevin Eastman. Yep, Kevin Eastman joins Super Geeky Playdate to talk about his life, his upcoming comic, Drawing Blood, and his experiencing creating the Ninja Turtles. You can find that on the GunnaGeek.com network. Once again, that's Super Geeky Playdate mini episode number 4. I heard a gasp, Lauren.
Yes, I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan as a kid. I actually broke my leg playing Ninja Turtles because I said I wanted to be Raphael. They said I had to be April because I was the girl. So I punched that guy in the face.
Go punch him in the face.
How do you break your leg punching a guy in the face?
Because then they started chasing me and I ran. And then a friend of mine was jumping off the swing as I happened to be running under him and he landed on me.
Okay. I was like, I think you're punching wrong.
Yeah, I punched him in the face and he landed on my leg. No, that is not what happened.
At least you didn't punch your eye with a needle.
No, although I did stab my eye in the Christmas tree.
Yeah, we've heard that story before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the episode this week. Stay tuned as we get into some news. Haley, what do we got down for the news this week?
Well, as many of you know, Inhumans is coming to theaters and then television this fall. And some of the first reviews are starting to come in for it, and things are not looking so good.
Yeah, I read this review, and there had been one that was posted on Comic Book Resources, but I guess they had to take it down. But I'm pretty sure it was this one because the quotes are familiar. It's linked on the Mary Sue, and Spoiler TV had posted it. "Simply awful. I'm so disappointed since I generally love everything Marvel does, but this is absolutely terrible. The dialogue is atrocious. The fight scenes are shockingly choreographed. The sets, or more so the obvious green screen, aren't that crash hot either. Its only saving grace is Lockjaw, who is adorable. As one of the few people that actually liked Iron Fist, I can easily say this is Scott Buck's worst work yet." So...
yeah, so looking forward to covering this in the fall. And Haley, I asked Lauren a question last episode, okay, which you could not be at because you were in the middle of the great apocalyptic floods of Arizona. And I asked her, do you think that Scott Buck is to Marvel what Zack Snyder was to DC?
It's hard to say because so many people work on so many aspects of a TV show. But his track record to date is not looking great. A big problem with Inhumans in particular seems to be effects. Because if you can't make Medusa's hair right, then don't do an Inhuman show. I mean, why? Why?
And then why show it in IMAX?
Now I really want to get really drunk and go see this in IMAX.
I will, thankfully, be out of town, state. Then
you planned a vacation intentionally around it.
There's IMAX theaters everywhere, Lauren, especially up in the tundra. Yeah, you can go see it.
I will be making friends with like seals and polar bears. If I don't come back, it's because I tried to hug a polar bear. So
R.I.P. Lauren.
What whale season is it going to be up there?
I think it's the tail end of humpback whale season.
Nice. Humpbacks are my favorite whale.
They are wonderful. I saw a baby humpback whale a few years ago. It was playing and splashing its tail, and it was lovely.
I went on a whale watching trip one of the times I went to Hawaii, and we got to see a couple. It was great. Dolphins were playing, too. It was just a fun time. So would I want to get in the water with humpback whales where you will be going up in Alaska? Probably not, because the water is a lot colder than Hawaii. But, hey, it'd be nice seeing them. So That's a great wildlife up there.
All right. Well, that's it for TV news. Movie news. James Gunn tells us who David Bowie would have played in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Aww.
Yeah. So there was a Facebook Q&A on, I guess, Friday. And when asked about David Bowie, James Gunn revealed he wanted him to play a member of Yondu's original crew. And it nearly happened. He wrote that he reached out to Bowie through Marvel and that David Bowie expressed interest in playing a role. But shooting began in February 2016, and Bowie had passed away from cancer a month earlier. So, screw cancer. But yeah, he did have the honor, David Bowie did have the honor of being the only artist to have songs featured in both films.
And the track lists for both films are phenomenal. Really enjoyed it. They really made the films.
Yeah, and apparently the scene involving his song was cut in the second movie, but Suffragette City was still on the ads, which was fun.
James Gunn has this amazing talent. I was thinking about this, that to be able to take a theme and find songs that match the theme or come up with themes of songs that match the theme of the film, either way, and then just package them all together. It's just great. My son was just watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this week because it came out streaming video, and he was laughing at the Groot scene. Just hysterical. He called me. He stopped the movie to call me. He said, "This is the Groot," and the beginning fight scene, and they're like, "Oh, they're just stopping to talk to Groot the whole time." So it's amazing.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can't wait because I'm going to get the Blu-ray that comes out at the end of August versus the streaming one that's out now. All right, and that's it for the news this half week. If you want to catch more news, you can go back an episode or go forward an episode, and you can catch all the great news coming up. So we got, what, Thor Ragnarok coming up in November. We've got Inhumans coming up in September, right?
Oh, so I went to go see Dark Tower this weekend, which, by the way, is not as bad as the reviews would have it. It was a solid movie. Idris Elba, saving grace of the movie. But anyway, the Black Panther trailer played before it, and it was amazing. So
that's what I was going to say. Black Panther's coming out. Deadpool 2, different studio, but that's coming out.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yep. Thor Ragnarok in November.
I went and saw it yesterday, the Dark Tower, and we got there kind of late. So I don't know if there was a Black Panther trailer, but we didn't see it. But I did see another Thor Ragnarok trailer.
I didn't see that, but I did see Black Panther and It and a couple of other horror movie trailers.
So before we leave the news section, though, Lauren, I wanted to say that Lauren brought up the Make Mine Milkshake story that came out last week in our last episode. Well, I made a point during my project run over the weekend to the local big box hardware store to stop by the shake place and get a shake and post a picture and make my milkshake. So there you go. Supporting women of comics. Well, that's it for the news. We're going to move on to some feedback.
Okay, so we have a little bit of feedback from Twitter this week. At Mr. Paracletes on Twitter sent us a message saying, more Kree. It's a link from moviepilot.com. Apparently, in a now-deleted Instagram video from Chloe Bennett, we got some hints that we might be seeing the Kree again on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which wouldn't be a huge surprise considering that they're in space right now.
Right.
Because it makes sense. I mean, we've seen some of the Kree already up there in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. So it would make sense that they're, you know, they're kind of an expansive presence in the Galactic Marvel universe. So to see them again would make a lot of sense.
You know what else would make a lot of sense? Agent Bran and Captain Marvel.
Agreed. And from at Michelle Ely, who needs sedative in your tea when you have episodes of Iron Fist you can watch? Episodes are cheaper than sedatives.
True story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haley, we noted last episode that you would try anything to get out of watching.
Sorry, guys. Apocalyptic flooding. Can't come talk about Iron Fist.
Gee.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you guys.
It's the worst.
So, yes, Michelle, we feel your pain. And we will be feeling your pain again this week. If you have something to say to us, please get a hold of us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is largely what people have been contacting us at. But we also have a Facebook page that the ladies can access. And
so if you want to talk trash on Star Pie, that's the place to do it.
Yeah, you can leave a comment right here on our YouTube video, or you can go ahead and send me an email at StargatePioneer@getageek.com. Now, I've been asking you ladies how you want to leave the episode. So we've had a variety of different things, walking, skipping. Haley, how do you want to get this one out?
Jaywalking. We're going to jaywalk this one out.
We're going to jaywalk this episode out. Bringing it back with the bump, like bringing that one back. For everybody that just happens to want to meet somebody from the GunnaGeek.com network, we are going to be at Gen Con Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017, at least four of us. And we're doing two panels, one at 10 a.m. in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. This, of course, is Indianapolis, Indiana. The title of the panel is What is a Podcast? A Miserable Little Pile of Secrets. The description is podcasts are hot these days, but what exactly is a podcast? How do you listen? And how can you start a podcast yourself? Members of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network explain how to get in on the game, because, of course, it's all Gen Con game related. You know, get in on the game. Got it. OK,
get it.
Then the second panel starts at 11 a.m. So back to back in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. Oh, thank gosh, I don't have to tear down, move somewhere within a minute and sit back up. That will be titled Purposeful Podcasting with the Gonna Geek Network. The description is, what are you trying to do with your podcast and how can you do it best? The Gonna Geek Podcast Network veterans share their secrets, best practices, industry trends, and a Q&A for casual and pro podcasters. Of the panel will be Cody. Yes, the verified producer Cody from WGN Radio fame. He also does the Game Life Balance US podcast on the Guinea Geek Network, as well as the professionally run Curiosity.com podcast. So he's going to be there. His co-host, Jonathan Martin from Game Life Balance US, will be there. They cover Gen Con every year for the GuineaGeek.com network, as well as Michelle, the guest host from this podcast, who's also the full-time co-host over on Starling Tribune, and me. So I will be the roadie for that one, and I will let Cody, John, and Michelle take it where they want to. So once again, that is Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017, at Gen Con. Now, Lauren, you're going to be somewhere else in September, right?
Yes, I am. Here in Houston, there's going to be something called Fandemic Tour. It's here at the NRG Center from September 15th through 17th. And it's got people like Sebastian Stan, Bruce Campbell, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Steve Yeun, Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn, a bunch of Marvel artists and writers and animators. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be there. And you should be there too. We might end up having some giveaways on the show. So stay tuned, find out.
Stay tuned indeed. Yep. So there are a couple of places you can check us in the coming future. Haley, we're going to have to schedule a more thorough review of SDCC for you in the coming weeks for Marvel specific stuff, because I know you did stuff, or we talked in general, but I know you did some specific Marvel stuff.
I didn't actually do a lot of Marvel stuff.
No, but you had to like see some Marvel cosplay. I mean, there was something Marvel related there.
I bought some Marvel stuff.
There you go. You can go into that next time. So stay tuned for a next episode into that. Just want to say thank you, everybody, for downloading it. Thank you very much to Scott Smith and the three girls for watching us live. I've now ascertained that Scott Smith's daughter's favorite Marvel characters are Spider-Man, Thor, and Captain America. Ladies, what do you think about that?
Those are all excellent choices.
Good choices.
Good choices indeed. So thank you very much for watching us.
And thank you for everybody who sends us feedback, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. If you send us a call, we will love you forever. And we really appreciate hearing from you. We love when you send us stuff like you've been thinking of us, or when you send us news stories that make our lives a little bit easier. We just love knowing that you're listening, and we love you guys.
And thank you to everyone that's sticking through us through the off season, through the summer, as we cover all the extra bonus good Marvel stuff that's come out. And let us know what extra bonus Marvel good stuff you'd like us to continue covering as we get into the fall, and we have to be pickier and choosier about what we're going to cover right away.
Yeah, and also don't forget that there's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition if you want to check out the weekly Marvel comic run. We're catching up. We're in December 2016. This is August 2017. So 8 months versus 10, 11 months. So yeah, the gap is closing. So stay tuned for episodes as they drop on that twice a week. All right, ladies, I think we're out of here. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys on Thursday. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at Incompetech.com, and also artists on Pond5.com and AudioJungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I'm hoping we get done fairly quick. Luckily, there's not much news or feedback. Because, yeah, the sooner I get to the museum, the more time I get to spend at the museum.
Yep, right.
There's a Ron Muick exhibit. Sculptor, he does, like, hyper-realistic sculptures, and he worked on, like, Labyrinth and stuff. And the exhibit's closing soon. And I found out last night that there's also an exhibit on painting the Mexican Revolution. So there's some Frida Kahlo paintings, Siqueiros, Orozco, Diego Rivera. So I'm really excited about that.
Somebody told me that Voltron season 3 came out.
Like, yeah, and I still need to finish season 1 because I was like, well, I'll watch it with Scott. He just never wants to watch TV. So that'll just watch it on my own.
Well, my dad was one of the teachers at the high school, so our house got TP'd regularly on Halloween.
Yep.
And then one year he hung out on the roof with the garden hose, and when they came to TP, he just sprayed them all.
Nice.
What's in the box?
David. David is in the box.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.